I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. But wanting my cake and eat it too. But wanting it both ways, fame made me a balloon.
Good Friday morning to you. Mike McNamara in for a Friday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a good Friday so far, wherever you are. It's early on the West Coast. Getting towards lunch on the East Coast. And we're going to talk a little bit of food just to make you happy about that. Yeah, so we got that going for you this morning. So, yeah, food. Go figure. All right, so we're talking that. And then we've had Ken Rogers on a couple times. You know him as a Marine, former Lance Corporal, caisson guy who wanted to record the memories of his comrades as they age. And his wife kind of cajoled him into that. That turned into a documentary called Bravo. It's a story of Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 26 Marines, I think it is. It might be 25th. I'll get that straight here in a second. And Ken's going to join us. And he's working on other things, so we're going to talk a little bit about caisson. And he publishes stuff. You'll see different really cool pictures of caisson and the surrounding battles that he's collected over the years that he posts on, I believe it's LinkedIn, I see him. So pretty cool stuff. So we'll talk to him because I'm sure as he's, one of the interesting things is after you do pieces, because it happens to me, it just happened to me yesterday. You've heard, no doubt if you listen to the program, you've heard an interview that I did years and 15, 16 years ago with an Army Ranger that was at Normandy on June 6th. And so he went up the cliffs. He's a squad leader, went up the cliffs at Point du Hoc. One of my favorite interviews that I've ever done, because it's all impromptu. And I'd read about that as a kid, and I'd seen diagrams of it and looked at the cliffs and think, wow, what the hell? And then in a very impromptu way, Harris Holman crosses on my path. Well, I got an email from his great nephew thanking me, who lives in North Carolina, who ran across the interview on the internet, thanking me for doing it and continuing to play it and keeping the memory of his great uncle alive, blah, 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 blah. And so, you know, these things happen after you create something like that. And so curious to talk to him and find out, you know, do those pictures come from guys who've seen his documentary and have sent him stuff? So anyway, we'll talk to Ken Rogers, and then the gunner will join us. We're going to talk food here in the first hour. Specifically, we're going to talk supporting dishes for the 4th of July feast. Now, next week, we'll talk 4th of July feast, and so what we'll talk about, this is the plan. What we'll talk about next week is the food. So that's what we got going next week. And so it should be good. And when I say the food, I mean, we'll talk brats, we'll talk, burgers, we'll talk hot dogs. Kim's a huge hot dog guy. And, yeah, his life dream is to have a hot dog stand. Yeah. Here's a guy who owned a pretty nice restaurant. And, you can do a search on the internet. You can Google, if you will, now that that's a verb. Sanders 1907. I'll Google it right now. And that was the name of his restaurant in Grand Forks, F-O-R-K-S. And if you Google that and then you click on images, We'll see what comes up, if there's pictures of the inside. Yeah, there's pictures of the inside. And if you just kind of go through the pictures of the inside, it was just a cool place. A lot of wood, a lot of art. Very cool. Very cool place. And awesome food. He had these painted booths in his joint that a woman hand painted for him. They survived a flood. So it was just Kim's place was just a cool place to hang out in. And you could go there in jeans and feel comfortable. You could dress up and go out on a date and feel just as comfortable. So for him to say he wanted a hot dog stand, that's his life dream, is pretty hilarious. But anyway, that's nonetheless, it's true, man. Since I've known him, that's one of the things he's talked about. So we'll talk about that stuff next week. So today what we're going to talk about is supporting dishes. So we'll do that coming up here in the next few minutes as we get rolling here on a Friday. The news. The Republicans are now going to begin the process of horse trading relative to their version of the Affordable Care Act and what one guy wants. So the deal maker. Can he make a deal? And this is really, to me, the test of can it even be saved? Because this is what used to make deals and make legislation, which is, okay, we've got at least some form of legislation. Let's negotiate. What do we need to get that group in? What do we need to get that vote and to get it passed? And that's how you do it. Making sausage, and it's not designed to be perfect. It's designed to be compromised. It's designed to be hard, but we can't even do that anymore. So, so we'll keep certainly an eye on that, and then I'll check the early bird here in a second as we get rolling. But to make it official, Whitney Houston sings the national anthem. Good morning to you. Could listen to that like three more times. My kids hate it because I do that. I can listen to the same song like 50 times in a row. Absolutely hate it. That's awesome. As I said before, what happened to her? Awful. Absolutely awful. All right. A little moto as we get it going. Okay. Okay, hold on. Imagine this, if you will. Okay, son number two is getting commissioned, right? Your family's there. Son number one's a first lieutenant, which is very cool. Your battle buddies from Iraq and Afghanistan. Chris Bronzy, a good buddy, battle buddy times two. He's there. Dave Furness, battle buddy times three. Is the commissioning officer just by chance, right, of Patrick's OCS class. Joe Garreau showed up. He's a logistics officer, just took command at Camp Lejeune of a CLB. And you're standing in the rotunda of the National Museum of the Marine Corps, right? And this event's going on, right? And then you're looking at up on the scaffolding and all that, and there's parents and everybody, and they bust this out, okay? And then as they're singing it, you're kind of looking at the cornice, right, at the crest with all the quotes, Colonel Schaub's quote, situation in doubt, whatever. Wait, I'll get his quote in a second. We are winning. Whatever he said from the pier at Tarawa. You know, Dan Daly's quote. Come on, you sons of bitches. So all those things, and then that's why I love it. Then they start singing this.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Boom, bitches. Cloudy and 79 in Quantico. Partly cloudy 82 at Camp Lejeune. Mostly sunny in 82 in Granbury, Texas. Montana man's got sun and 52 degrees up there. 29 Palms, sunny in 87. That means you're easily going to be in the hundreds there. Camp Pendleton, cloudy 63. Camp Smith in Hawaii, cloudy, dark, and 76. Okinawa, cloudy, dark, 82. Fallujah, sunny and 101 late in the day there. At the home of All Marine Radio, 64 degrees under cloudy skies. And looking for a high all the way up to 75 today. On the Friday, the 1st Marine Division, the Blue Diamond. Yeah, spent my whole life under the Blue Diamond. Part of all the infantry regiments, part of 7th Marine Regiment with RCT 7, first with 3rd LAR, who's part of the combat team up there, and then part of 5th Marine Regiment on a couple different occasions, and the 1st Marine Regiment. So yeah, Blue Diamond, my blood. Yeah, and both my sons are Blue Diamond guys too. That's right. So anyway, they'll do their change of command. Eric Smith, the Brigadier General type, who served with him. He was the current operations officer in Ramadi for the division in 2004. Good dude. And then he was in, I never saw him, said hi to him via email a couple times when he was asking for stuff. When I was in Afghanistan and we were south, we were RCT-1. He was RCT-8, I think. I'm pretty sure. North of us in Sangin. And then General Kennedy took over for him after he departed. So, yeah, it was really cool because, you know, as life has it in Afghanistan, you know everybody. Jody Osterman was a CG there. You know, served with him at IOC, taught with him, took over his packages. Lou Craparata served with him at IOC. He took over for Jody. It was awesome. Furness was the first lieutenant at the basic school. He was a regimental commander. Kennedy, first lieutenant at the basic school. And we were all serving together. He was up north. So very cool how these kind of lines all weave back together. But anyway, Dan O'Donohue relinquishes command to Eric Smith today. Gonna go down and unlock on the Artie guys. They always need supervision, so we'll do that today. And then I think there's a party that I'll probably head to tonight, for a buddy who's retiring, Lance Jackala, Lieutenant Colonel, former CO-11, former plans officer of RCT-1 in Afghanistan. So Lance, good dude, good family guy, Vikings fan, Minnesota guy, I think born and raised there. So we will out and about today. Looking forward to it, seeing friends. Anyway, before all that takes place, we've got to talk food. So this hour brought to you by our friends at the Battle Mug. Talking food next on a Friday right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website. Look at what events they have lined up. Attend those events, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
On a Friday.
Good morning.
Good morning, man. That, for whatever reason, that never gets old.
No, it doesn't. It makes me giggle every time I hear it. Just, I laugh my face. It is funny.
You know, very funny. I mean, for whatever reason, I hadn't thought about it. You know, it's hard to believe, Kim, that, you know, he hung himself. You know, and
I can't watch any of his movies because of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it bothers me. It's just so sad for me. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's sad for millions of people because he was a funny man. He had demons, man. Good man.
Yeah, you know, that's, you know, the one thing that we've learned, and again, part of the mission of this thing is to let people know that, you know, that there's a lot of people, we have a big tribe in mental depression and suicide, and those issues are a part of our tribe, traumatic brain injury, and you're not out there by yourself. There's a lot of people out there going through the same stuff. And when you're hurt, stick your hand out, let us help, but it's hard, man. I mean, again, that guy, you know, who brought so much, you know, laughter and joy, you think, got to the point where, you know, to hang yourself. Good God,
man.
That's
too tortured with depression and the medications he was taking. But I tell you, the first time I saw him was Mork and Mindy. And I've been laughing ever since, every time he came on.
Yeah.
I mean, he was funny, funny man.
Yeah, he was, I'm trying to think, what's the funniest thing you ever saw him do?
Probably Mrs. Doubtfire with Fire was pretty good. That was great, actually, when he was, you know, changing into his costume as a nanny.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
That was rich.
That was.
And the Dead Poets Society, that wasn't so funny, but it was really good. And there were just a ton of movies that always made you chuckle.
Oh, no, he just had that, I mean, he had that crazy, unique gift, right? I mean, that he did it like nobody else, he did it like nobody else could do it. And, I don't know, I mean, and he would go off on, you know, he would go off on one of his little tangents and rants. Oh, man,
yeah.
It would be hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
Oh, yeah, you'd have to run to the bathroom real quick, otherwise you... Go in your pants.
Yeah, no, he's a funny man. And I don't know why that struck me. I mean, how many times we've done this and played that, and I never kind of connected that with his suicide and that he's no longer, you know, he's not around in the way he passed away.
I remember when Whoopi Goldberg and Billy Crystal did the Academy Awards. One of the funniest I've ever seen. All three of them together,
yeah,
just feeding off one another. Tremendous.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I don't remember that.
Yeah, yeah, they did. I think they might have done it a couple of times. I'm not sure, but very funny people.
Yeah,
Billy's still cranking it out. Whoopi's still cranking it. I like her. She's great.
I don't. Is she still on The View? She was.
She is The View.
Is she on it still?
Yeah, yeah. Every morning, Monday through. Well, I think she does Monday through Thursday. I've turned in a couple of times to watch her on Friday, and she wasn't on, so I turned in. But yeah, she ties it all together, and she's the voice of reason on that show. Believe it or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I might find that hard to believe, but to each his own. Yeah. It's getting towards 4th of July. You and I were talking a little bit ago about talking about things that help make great 4th of July meals. So figured we'd talk about this. When you close your eyes when you think of the 4th of July. Tell me what the whole meal looks like.
Well, the whole meal, there is baked beans, there's potato salad, there's mac salad, macaroni salad.
Right.
I like four bean salad.
Is that a hot salad or a cold salad?
No, that's a cold salad. Four bean salads. And I think real hard on deviled eggs.
Oh.
And then.
What else? What does the table? So what is it? What does the table look like?
Well, it's got a stack of burgers and dogs and barbecued chicken. Not burnt, but good barbecued chicken. It's got all kinds of dips. You know. You've got the boursin to make boursin with, but I'll talk to you tomorrow about that, or this weekend, and how to do a good number there. That any kind of dip, like a spinach dip, you can get one of those round bread loaves and make your spinach dip and carve out the top and dig out the center and use the bread that's in the loaf to cube it up and use to dip it into the spinach dip or chips. Salsa. My gosh. It's a really fun spread.
I'll give you mine. If I close my eyes and think about it. It's in the center of this kind of a circular table with a red tablecloth is a big plate of hamburgers. They'll be like regular hamburgers. There's cheeseburgers on it. And then there's some hot dogs with a little bit of black on them. Not very much, but a little bit of black.
Got it.
There's, as you said, there's potato salad, there's macaroni salad, there's a plate of, or a bowl of pickles. There's dip. Sour cream based dips, and also there's guacamole and there's salsa,
yes,
and all the chips that support that. There's a cheese,
yep,
there's a cheese platter with sliced up beef sticks from the kind that you and I both know from our favorite butcher, L&M Meats. But it may include like pepperoni, it may include jalapeno in the beef stick, and cheddar cheese.
I like the teriyaki beef stick, cheese beef stick.
With kind of a cheese salami beef stick plate, that's out there. I'm with you, a baked bean and then maybe a little bit of chili, and then maybe some not when I was younger, but certainly when I was older, barbecue, either sweet and sour pork, or some kind of barbecue. That you can throw on a sandwich. So there's some finger foods. There's some chips and dip that you can graze on before the meal. And the meal's not, for me, the meal wasn't that, complex of an event. It's potato salad. It's beans. And then it's a burger and a dog. And so the meal itself is not that. And then afterwards, there might be a kind of a meringue pie, like a key lime pie, like yours. Not so much a cherry pie or an apple pie, but something maybe fruitier and colder. And certainly I like along the lines of a tart. That you tend to see more in Europe, but, you know, something lighter, something fruitier. So when I close my eyes, that's kind of what it looks like. So we're going to talk about putting some of that stuff together. Well, let's start with salads. My favorite between macaroni and potato is potato salad. What are the elements of a good potato salad?
Oh my gosh. Potatoes, eggs. Salt, pepper, a dressing made of mayo, sweet mustard, and some kind of herb. Beth uses our Boursin herbs, but you can use Herb de Provence, which you can get in the store, or pine herbs, and that gives it a little zip.
Okay, question. Now,
Oil and vinegar dressing is one way to go.
Well, no. Some potato salads are heavier on mustard. Some are heavier lighter on mustard. There's a little bit of mustard, but not too much. Do you have a preference, heavier or lighter?
I prefer lighter. In fact, if you're having potato salad, and you're also having macaroni salad and maybe the cucumber salad, which we'll discuss later.
Mm-hmm.
But I sometimes will make the potato salad with oil and vinegar. And what I do is when the potatoes come, you peel the potatoes, you boil them whole, you pull them out, you cool them down just enough so you can cut them and hold them. And then I toss the dressing in the potatoes when they're still warm, and they suck up that dressing.
Ooh.
And if you sprinkle some herbs on there, whatever you want, parsley, basil, whatever you feel like and you like on your potato salad, and I still put eggs, celery. My wife slices up radishes real thin. You can put red peppers, green peppers. I don't
radishes.
Put tomatoes.
Really?
Radishes.
See, I'm not a big fan of the radish.
I know, but that Beth turned me on to that, and it's pretty tasty. It's different for sure. It's an acquired taste.
Okay.
And you have to have onions in your potato salad, preferably red onions. They're a little sweeter. And you throw the onions in when the potatoes are still warm and the dressing's in there, and you toss it all up, and that'll absorb, or the potatoes will absorb that dressing and herbs. And then, you add everything else. But you don't put the eggs in until it's cooled down.
Okay.
And then you can fold diced eggs in there, big chunks of eggs, and you're pretty much in the front row. And if you like red pepper and green pepper, you can do that. There's a preference of what you like.
Got it. I'll tell you what. I think, to me, the things that make it delicious are egg. Egg and potato salad to me is don't skimp on the egg.
Absolutely, you don't skip on the eggs and onions. I like diced onions in there or thinly sliced onions. You don't want chunks of onions. You want thin slices of onion. So you get that hit, but it doesn't dominate everything else. But yes, absolutely right. Potato, whatever dressing, either mayonnaise, mustard kind of dressing, or what I just said that somebody might like to try if you're having macaroni salad. That's a good combination if you're having baked beans. It's just a lot.
Now I'm tasting it. I'm a huge fan of how baked beans kind of juice runs into potato salad, and at the end on the plate, kind of you got the stuff left over that runs together. I like that. That's a good taste for me.
That's where you mop it up with once you start going in to a hamburger or something. You have to mop it up. That the drippings on the plate, absolutely necessary to do that.
All right. So that's potato salad, macaroni salad. Any secret hints for macaroni salad?
Well, if some people like it sweet, some just don't. Just straight mayonnaise. You can also put a little sugar in there in your dressing.
Right.
The vegetables, again, I like eggs in there, but not necessary. Onions, if you want. Peppers, and it's a pretty standard salad, mainly celery, your mac, a little onion, a little pepper for color, red pepper for color, and your mayonnaise. And if you want to sprinkle a little sugar in there, you do it. Not necessary. And I don't add vinegar to my mac salad. I like it pretty mayonnaise-y. Salt and pepper, and there you go. But I like the celery in there because it gives it a crunch. Nice texture difference between the pasta and the rest of everything in the mac salad.
All right. You know what? I didn't even say anything about celery. And I'm not a celery guy for the most part.
I know you're not. But I don't mind it. There's three people in the world that doesn't like celery.
I don't mind it in macaroni salad. But again, I don't like it in big chunks. And I would even tell you the same with radishes. I don't mind it so much in salad as long as it's not big chunks.
No, you don't do big chunks of celery or radishes. You thin slice them. And in fact, you can even dice the celery. So you have a little subtle crunch. You don't want the celery or the radish to dominate the flavor. You just want it to enhance it. And I do that in a potato salad.
All right. So we're learning to get along. I like that.
I do too.
All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about baked beans or whatever kind of beans you'd like to make.
I got a big one for you there.
Nice, I like that. I like when you get excited about it too. We're talking 4th of July supporting dishes. Next Friday we'll talk about brats, hot dogs, and hamburgers,
pork or beef or combo.
We'll talk all about all that next week. So all the supporting dishes we're talking today on a pre-4th of July, going to the lake, going to the beach, going to the desert, wherever the hell you go, you can take all this with you and have an awesome 4th of July weekend. So sit back, relax, enjoy the next hour. We're talking food on a Friday edition here. Don't touch that dial. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website. Look at what events they have lined up. Attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
On a Friday, we talk food. Wolfman Jack, used to do this program with me, but
he used to rock on. I don't dare go too loud with my scream.
Okay, why don't try to do a mellow Wolfman Jack? Hey, mommy-o, hey, daddy-o, this is your astronaut Kimbo. No, but you got to start from the beginning.
Okay, I got it. Big bad, beautiful rocket ship up in that stratosphere. Let me hear loud and clear. Hey, mommy O's. Hey, daddy O's. This is your astronaut, Kimbo. I'm back on the scene in my Mac machine going, ooh, poopy doo dee wah. Ooh, poopy doo. Ooh, poopy doo. Ooh, poopy doo dee doo wah, wah, wah.
There you go. Yeah, see, I think you can turn it into kind of a mellow kind of a mellow rap kind of a thing. You know what I'm saying? I think you could pull that off. Hey, mommy O's. Hey, daddy O's. This is your astronaut Kimbo. I'm back on the scene in my flying machine singing oop dooby dooby doo ah. How about that? That was like halfway decent.
All right.
All right, we're talking food. Actually, and specifically, we're talking the supporting dishes for the 4th of July meal. And we've been talking a little bit about potato salad and macaroni salad, which get made a lot. Let's talk about beans. Do you buy them? Do you make them? I'll tell you that I had Bush's baked beans for the first time in my life when I was living in North Dakota. Pierre Lamoureux, whose two daughters play on the U.S. women's Olympic hockey team, but our kids are the same age. We coached hockey together, and he invited us to dinner at his house, and so Pierre had Bush's baked beans with maple syrup in them, and they were absolutely delicious. Absolutely delicious. And so, do you buy them? Do you make them? What do? Or do you buy them and then juice them up?
We buy kidney beans, pinto beans, navy beans, white cannoli beans. We drain them, rinse them, set them aside. Then we saute olive oil, onions, peppers, green onions, and garlic cloves. Then we add diced tomatoes, and we add that to the vegetables, reduce the liquid. Then we add a mixture of ketchup, water, maple syrup, and molasses. And then the spices, all spice, clove, and coriander, and sea salt and pepper. And if you want it spicy, you add jalapenos or habaneros to it. You cook that for a little bit, half an hour or so, over medium heat. And then you do this the day before, because baked beans are always better the next day, like most soups you make. So, and then you can serve them cold or heat them up again. But you want the beans not to be, them to be a little bit runny. And oh mercy. You know, they, like you said earlier, a little bit of leftover sauce has to run on the plate to mop it up with the potato salad. And if you're really adventuresome, you can slice up sausage, you know, cooked sausage, and things like that. You can dice up hot dogs and put in there towards the end if you want. It's your call if you want meat in it or not. And but that's how we do it. You do this also the day before. But, you know, buying Bush's baked beans and doctoring those up a little bit, that's very easy. But you want to do the potato salad the day before, the baked beans, the mac salad. So you're just pulling stuff out of the fridge. We want this picnic to be easy. So all that stuff can be done ahead.
Okay. All right. Now, give me a couple things to do. If I buy your basic can of baked beans, and then what are some of the things I can do to juice it up a little bit?
Well, if you buy just straight baked beans,
all right,
I always cook up bacon and throw bacon in there.
Okay.
Throw a little brown sugar in there. And because I like my baked bean to have a little sweetness to it. And that, if you're just buying straight baked beans, that's what I do. But now, Bush's, my gosh, they have about, I don't know, 8 or 10 different types of beans. So you don't even have to do anything to those puppies, except maybe add some bacon.
some fresh bacon, right?
Yes, fresh bacon. Saute it up a little bit.
Okay.
Don't get it too crisp. and then dice it up, or dice it up first and then saute it, and then dump it in the beans with a little bit of that fat.
We love
Sorry,
that.
Sorry, folks.
No, but you're right. Oh, you're right. I mean, bushes. I mean, those things are awesome. And I might even saute a little onion and throw a little onion in there. Maybe a little red onion looks for a little bit of color and some fresh bacon in there.
That's how I used to do mine, with onions and bacon, and then I'd use brown sugar. Some people would use molasses or honey, but I like just straight brown sugar. And, but yeah, you have to have the onions and bacon, no matter what kind of beans you have.
Got to.
You do. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
it's a good story. So those are a little bit. How about chili? You have a. I mean, Kim and I used to. In fact, we used to. Did we ever judge? We got in trouble one year from the chili Nazi. She got mad at us because we were having a good time, and she told us we were unprofessional. And we said, we're not professional.
I remember that one time I brought a couple of bottles of tequila.
Oh, she was not happy about that at all.
Oh, she was. I was in deep gotcha for a while, man. And I didn't care. Look, it's the way it is. I mean, you're at a chili cook-off and you're not having fun. You're not drinking beer. Well, I remember they used to provide the judges with beer. And some of these chilies you have to taste, and you have to be drinking.
Well, she was not, like, when she gave, like, we were going down there, and it's kind of a 4th of July event, and it's down near the river, and, it's vacation, it's a Saturday, you got all the cooks out there cooking, we show up, it's nothing but a good time, we roll over to get briefed by the judge, and she's like, yeah, Joseph Goebbels going to run the chili judging contest. And we're like, okay. And then she got mad.
You know what you can do with that chili, honey?
She
didn't say it to her, but we were thinking it.
And so anyway, it was a little bit of an...
But we had fun in spite of that.
Yeah, she was serious, though. She was really serious about it.
Yeah, well, there's strict rules in judging chili. You know, it's a blind tasting, and we had anywhere from 16 to 20-some chilies to eat, sample. And you take a bite, and I would just put the chili to my nose. It came in styrofoam cups, and I could smell if it was scorched. And I put a zero on my I wouldn't give him a point.
On your card.
If you can't cook chili without scorching it, you shouldn't be in this contest. And I was a Nazi about that. I was very militant about it. And because the thing is, chili should be cooked in a very heavy, thick bottom pan or a cast iron pan. Cauldron made of cast iron with a cast iron lid.
Right.
And they're cheap to buy, and it's really the best way to cook chili.
Well, I mean, isn't one of the key things about chili is allowing the ingredients to cook long enough to blend together, the beans to soften, the juices, you get those little pools of fat on top of it, and you know you got yourself a good batch. Isn't that, a lot of people like to hurry that process and don't work out. It does not work out too good.
You cannot do that.
So talk to us about what you like in chili. You don't need to give us a recipe, but give us some of the things you like to see in a good chili.
I like to see meat, red chilies, onions. I don't And any kind of heat, whether it's jalapenos or whatever, I like cumin. I like a strong cumin flavor in my chili. Pepper, salt. I don't like beans in my chili. I'm a Texas chili person.
Right.
I like strictly meat, no tomatoes. You get the red color from the ancho chilies, the New Mexico red chilies. And you soak them, and then you throw them in and you cook them and dice them up. And that's what I like. But,
I'm a tomato guy. I like tomato in my chili. I like.
That's how Beth makes our chili, is with tomatoes and beans. And, but there's enough meat in there for me. And I'm quite happy because it's that cumin that makes a great chili, whether it's beans or not, tomatoes or not, it does not matter. That's another thing that's just strictly personal preference.
Got it. All right. How about any vegetables or any other spices?
No. Well, just the peppers and some, maybe a little hint of some paprika, lots of paprika. That helps with the red color.
Okay.
And it's pretty simple, but the main thing is cumin. You can look it up on your favorite recipe, and you'll see that. And usually, if it says 1 tablespoon, I will add a tablespoon and a half, and then taste it. But when you're cooking with spices, you have to cook it so it blends in with the other flavors in the pot, and that's real important. Because you have to let chili cook for a while. It simmers. I usually bring it up to a boil and then turn it down and simmer it for a couple of hours. Like a chili cook-off, you have to do everything from scratch right there, and you have about 4 hours to do it. And some people putz around it and don't get their things going properly. And you brown the meat first and then start adding things. But that's what I recommend doing.
All right.
And it's done in one pot. But it's got to be a thick bottom. And, you add water and beer. Some people like a little shot or two of tequila in there towards the end.
Let me ask you, what happens to that? Because, doesn't the alcohol cook up pretty quickly? Happens to alcohol when you retain the flavor, you lose the booze?
Yes. You do not want to put too much beer or tequila in there. That's just a personal preference. You don't have to. I personally like beer and to finish off my tequila. I mean, to finish that too, but to finish off the chili, a can of beer.
Oops.
In a nice pot of chili, and you put it in about a half an hour before it's done, and it'll evaporate the alcohol, and you just get the beer flavor. And don't use a cheap beer. get a good one. And you can use a dark beer or light beer. It's your choice. What do you normally drink? And then just use that. And that doesn't matter, I guess.
Okay. All right. So don't use cheap stuff. So chili is very much, for the people that make it, a lot of different family recipes out there. Depending on where you are in the country, there's regional taste to it. There's also a lot of guys who hunt. They like venison in there. There's some people that like to make it with turkey. Some people
make a white chili with turkey.
Right.
White bean chili. And it's delicious with the the green chilies. And they're real good. They're a mild chili, but they impart a lot of flavor into the chili. And I've had some killer white bean chili with chicken or turkey. And it's right up there with the best of them. But, you know, there are snobs and aficionados that say, oh, no. It's got to be meat.
Yeah,
and,
no
and
kidding.
It's a variation. And then you have to have, for your chili, you have to have grated cheese, cheddar cheese, and a pile of onions to put on that chili when you dish it up.
What about sour cream? Sour cream?
Yes, you have that. Yes, if you like it. But it's not necessary. But I will put also a dollop of sour cream. It just kind of smooths it out a little bit. But yes, it's not necessary at all. But onions and cheese are necessary.
Okay, and let me ask you about one of the things. My family was out to dinner last night as Colleen graduated from eighth grade, and I was telling them about a cookbook that Kim's wife Beth sent me here recently, and my oldest daughter Catherine remarked, "Oh, do you think it'll have the cucumber salad dressing that he used to put on his cucumber salad?" I said, "Well, I don't know. It's a it's devoted to like meals that use their sauces, so maybe." And in fact, it's not in there. So one of the favorite things that Kim would do. I talked to you about scampi last week. We were talking about scampi with avocado, the crab cakes Kim made, but he made an absolute killer cucumber salad, which was my go-to when I went down there. Always. Although I will tell you this, I really enjoyed it, and we won't do it today, but at some point we'll do a science project on the Caesar salad. What is the Caesar salad, where it comes from, and how it's made.
I can give you the whole history and everything for another show.
Yeah, no, we'll do that. I asked him about it one day. I asked about it one day. He turned it into a history class. So, but talk to us about your cucumber salad, because it's a great summer salad, and it doesn't look like it's very difficult to make.
Now, Beth's mother taught her, and she taught me. Now, you take cucumbers. I'm going to run through the recipe real quick.
Okay.
I sent you a copy. You can post it on your website. But you start out with 3 or 4 medium cucumbers peeled. The key to a great cucumber salad is you slice the slices somewhere around 1/4 inch, not much more. Don't cut it thicker than that. About 1/4 inch slices, and then cold salt water, lots of salt. You put those slices in there, mix them up, and for 2 hours, you have to get the moisture out and the water in the cukes, even though it's in water, salt water. But then you drain them, and then you pat them dry. I use a dish towel, you can use lots of paper towels, but the key to that is soaking them and then draining them and pat them dry, completely dry. You want no moisture on the cukes.
No moisture.
And then, no moisture. And then your dressing, and by the way, that makes the cucumber crisper in the dressing, and it lasts longer. But this is pretty much the same day, because that's when the is better if it's sat for about an hour before you eat it. That's what we used to do at the restaurant. But you take 1 cup of mayo, 1/2 cup of sour cream, 1 cup of heavy cream, half a cup of cider vinegar, 2 tablespoons of sugar, or 2 tablespoons of honey. The original recipe is sugar, but for Sanders, I added honey because we have great local honey here, and I love that in this salad, and so did you. And you whip this dressing up now, and then you throw the cucumbers in there with a little sliced red onion, and you're in the front row. And this particular salad would be great, great, great to serve on the 4th, to go with the baked beans, the salads, and you can just knock it out of the park, and you're going to blow people away. It's also exceptional with steaks, as Matt knows. But this is a real good 4th of July surprise dish on the table, and you serve it in the bowl, and it's great. You'll love it. You'll absolutely love it. And so you can post that recipe, and I think everybody's going to flip out if they have never had a real cucumber salad like this.
No, let me just tell you, it's delicious. Now what you sent me, does it have the instructions for the dressing too?
Yes, they're at the bottom.
Okay.
But what I forgot to add is the thin sliced red onions. Now you take an onion and peel it, you cut it in half, and then you lengthwise.
Right.
And then you slice half circles, and not too thick, because the dressing soaks in these onions or soaks into the onion, and it's killer. Killer. Very, very good. And we just serve that on a plate just like that, and then you mop it up with bread or whatever you want. And you think, because you don't want to leave much on the plate. Usually you don't. I never saw you leave, send anything back.
Good food. Are you kidding me? No, it was, it's delicious. And again, it's other than the prep work on the cucumber, it's delicious.
Yes, it is. And I just think, that's a real good one. And if we have time, I can run down the 4 bean salad, if you want, and I can send you a picture, to put up on your website. That's cannoli beans, kidney beans, garbanzo beans. I love, love, love garbanzo beans. And cut green beans. You can use it canned or frozen, however you want. But I like frozen green beans over the canned green beans.
Got it.
And then it's a half a red onion, chopped fine. Here we go again. A little celery, chopped fine. Loose packed parsley, chopped up. A couple of teaspoons of rosemary, chopped fine. 1/3 cup of apple cider vinegar, 1/4 cup of sugar, 3 tablespoons of olive oil, salt, black pepper, and you toss those and do this the day before. If you want color, you can add red and yellow diced bell pepper, and that just makes it pop. So that's another good dish to serve along with the mayonnaise-based salads you have, like the potato salad and the coleslaw. We didn't even talk about coleslaw, but everybody has their own recipe. Or you can buy it at the supermarket. That's okay. Don't be shy about doing that. But I personally like to cut my cabbage and make my own slaw. But yes, those are the things you can do. And with the coleslaw, you can make it a mayonnaise base or an oil base. So you've got some real nice, choices here to put on that spread for 4th of July. And, I think we've done real well this morning.
Well, the biggest thing is, and again, I'd say this. Normally, the weather's warm on the 4th of July anywhere you are around the country.
Yes.
And whenever we kind of organize these parties, and the reason we're doing this a couple weeks out is that you're not supposed to be that cook that's like, oh, it's so much work. We don't want that.
Yeah.
All right. And that's why I say, when we talk about these dishes, you know, getting Bush's beans with brown sugar and bacon, throwing some fresh bacon and onion in there, boom, done.
Yep.
Right? And Kim just mentioned the coleslaw. You can go you can go buy a deli and you can buy a coleslaw you like and then juice it up with the little things that make it taste delicious. And, you know, you're cutting your work, you know. Now, I know that's blasphemy to some people who make their grandma's coleslaw, and that's fine. I get it. But I hope you catch the idea, which is the bottom line is to have fun at a great social family gathering on a great, you know, historic day, in our history and to enjoy the day. And I think there's a little bit of middle ground that you steer. Like I said, Kim and I love these beef sticks from our favorite deli, which is a place called L&M Meats. And they have from pepper stick, beef stick, jalapeno cheese, sticks. They're absolutely delicious. You take them, you cut them up, you throw cheese out there and some crackers, and they will graze on that for days because it's delicious. And so to me, if you put a little bit of work into buying, and I don't mean just go yank stuff off the shelf, but we're going to get coleslaw there.
That morning.
Right? We're going to do beans like this. You can make a killer spread, enjoy the heck out of it, and have it be a really fun day for yourself. Really fun.
And all the recipes we gave you today are stuff that can be done the day before. And so if you insist upon doing grandma's recipes or our recipes, you do them the day before. You don't putz around in the kitchen the day of. You can even make the cucumber salad dressing the day before, but you have to do the cucumbers that day so they're nice and crisp, because overnight you can still have it the next day, but they're not as crisp as the same day. But all you have to do is throw those cucumbers. You got to slice them, peel them, slice them, soak them a couple hours in the morning, pat them dry, and then throw them into the sauce before your guests come, the dressing, I mean. And so there's four things, the bean salad, potato salad, all these things can be done the day before, or I would still, if you're going to do buy baked beans and do this other stuff, I would still go and shop the day before. Because all you want to do the day of is throw stuff together. Mac and I, and my grandmother taught me this in her book, Cooking for Company, is the more you can do ahead, the more fun you can have at the party. So that's our mantra, and we're sticking to it.
All right. One final thing. I'm going to give everybody a little bit of a dessert, just a quick dessert. And Kim, you can pile on relative to juicing this up. But, somebody showed me, and this is when I was in college, but you take, two little pints of yogurt, of your favorite fruit. I like strawberry. And then you take I can't remember how big of a thing of Cool Whip, and you just mix all that together. You take that, you put it either in a graham cracker crust or an Oreo crust. You take fresh fruit and you slice it over the top of it, a bunch of it. And you got kind of a quasi, tart. And you throw that in the refrigerator overnight, you let it cool, and, absolutely, and it takes no talent to make. It tastes delicious. And you throw the fresh fruit on there and it gives it that zing. The graham cracker crust or the Oreo crust makes it absolutely wonderful. And it's like, who made this? Yep, that would be me. No, you didn't make this.
No. Yes, I did.
Yes, I did. But again, and I'll tell you what, it's delicious, very little fuss. And the things that make it really good are the graham cracker crust is always a favorite. And then and the fresh fruit.
Yes.
And there's nothing, the fruit is never better than on the 4th of July. It is gushing. Its own natural,
absolutely
incredible juices.
Yeah.
So.
And on the 4th of July, there's a lot of fresh fruit that is absolutely stunning. And you, strawberries, blueberries, pineapple, you can dice fine. But strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, and you sprinkle those on top of this mixture, and then, a little tip, you can take like a jar of apricot jam, and not jelly, but jam. You heat it up, and when it's still a little warm, you brush it on top of that fruit, and it forms a real high-pro-glow glisten. And when you pull that out of the fridge, yes, I made this. Life's the garden, baby. Dig it.
No, that's good stuff, man. It is good stuff.
Yes, it is.
And but again, those are, you know, just, and I mean, certainly none of those things are unique. I certainly, somebody, I don't know where I got that recipe, but I ate it, and I'll tell you what, I only know what my mouth tells me. When my mouth says, hey, what is this? And then that means, I'm all over it. And so, so again, I just, it's those kind of things though that make the day an easy day, a fun day. And you could make four of those in about 15 minutes. And that probably includes cutting the fruit with it. So, certainly not difficult.
And here's another one, folks. You can do one with blueberries, raspberries, any kind of fruit like that, and then you can do a strawberry pie. And you go in the store on the 4th of July and you'll see strawberries by the bushelful, and you'll see right beside them this jar of strawberry glaze that you heat up a little bit. You put the berries, maybe just cut them in half or not, and then you get a graham cracker crust. Either you make yourself or you buy at the store. You put these berries, you pile them as high as you can, pile them in a pyramid, and then pour this sauce all over it, put it in the fridge, and you are really in the front row. And then you serve it with whipped cream, whether it's Cool Whip or any kind of aerosol can whipped cream, or make it yourself. It's all your call. But simplicity and eye appeal is what we're talking about today.
All right. That'll do it. Kim, first of all, thank you very much for all the sage advice. We'll go ahead and get the cucumber recipe up on the website.
Yeah, post that cucumber recipe, please.
And it's to die for. Sir, have a great weekend, and we will talk to you in a week.
See you in a week. Bye-bye.
All right. More of this radio program coming up next on the All Warrior Radio Network.